Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Amen, amen. Hey, let's say this together tonight. God is perfect. Come on, say it again. Say, God is perfect, and I am not. God is sinless, and I am not. But He loves me anyway. Now let's say that all back together. God is perfect. I am not. God is sinless. I am not. But He loves me anyway. How many know that's some good news? How many perfect people in the house? That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. I'm not without sin. But I know that He loves me anyway. That's great news, especially right in the middle of the week. I want to speak to you just for a few moments tonight from the subject unimaginable love. Unimaginable love. And what I want us to do for just a few moments is to kind of focus in and lock our eyes in and kind of unpack this idea of God's love. And if you kind of review back, if you've been kind of locked in the past few Wednesday nights, if you've been locked in, you kind of notice there's a pattern or there's a theme that we've kind of been focusing on. My tongue's still in Georgia, my mind's here, my body's here, but I don't know what's going on. Okay. If you're visiting for the very first time, I'm really not on drugs. God set me free. I'm just kidding. Actually, He did. Well, had I been on drugs, He would have set me free, but I'm not on drugs. Let me clarify that right there, because some of y'all are going, maybe we just need to stop, take the microphone, and have prayer over you right now. Okay. And my wife's going, after 15 years of marriage, I never even knew. God is perfect. I am not. God, I'm just playing. Okay. So if you've noticed over the past few weeks, the thread that's kind of been running through this, and last week, Amy and I kind of shared about God's unexplainable grace. And then for the 2 weeks prior to that, we were looking at the faithfulness of God through the series, My God is Faithful. So really what we've been dealing with is we've been focusing on God. Okay, that's the one that can change everything for us. He's the one that we should be focusing in on. And so that's really what we've been doing. And it all really surrounded, even though it was separate series, I'm working. Y'all just pray. My tongue's going to line up in a minute. But what it's been really those series of messages have focused on that one statement that nothing will impact my life more than how I view God. Okay, I don't know if you've really zoned in on that statement, but it has so impacted me knowing that nothing can impact my life more than how I view God, whether in a positive way or negative. If the negative things that are affecting my life and the negative things that happen in my life in a daily basis, if I've got a distorted view of God, that negativity or that negative situation, it's going to only increase. Okay, but if I have a positive view on God and I have an outlook of who God really is, and the only way that we're going to do that is by getting into His Word. And if you want to know how God would handle situations, just look at Jesus. Okay. But for me, I know that if there's positive things that are happening, it's real quick for us to gloat or become, oh yeah, man, God, I'm in God's favor and just He's just all over me. And you ever met people like that? Almost like they're grateful for the favor, but they're actually in a different realm, maybe a little cocky or arrogant about it. See how you can take what God meant for you and the enemy can take that and just drag you right back down. But it's all about how I perceive or how I view God. So I think if we're honest, a lot of us have this distorted view of who God is. And for many of us, the church, believe it or not, the church has put that distorted view in our minds. Okay, for a lot of us, if you've grown up in church like I have, or if you've been in a denominational background, and that's not saying anything, but we as the church have done a poor job of really communicating who God is. For a lot of us, we've been brought up, we heard about God's wrath, and we like God's this cosmic being who's up there with, I think about, what was the, one of the Disney characters, it was actually Under the Sea. He had the pitchfork with the lasers that shot out. But we view, I know this, how'd you go from heaven to sea? I don't know. But that's what we view God like. He's this cosmic character with this big pitchfork, and he's just waiting for you to mess up. He's waiting for you just to screw up and just jack everything up so he can just, you know, light you up. You know what I'm saying? How many have ever felt that way? It's like, you know, right when you've messed up, it's almost like you duck. It's like, there's no way I can go to church. And I don't need no Christians. Oh, that's a Christian coming near me on the other side of the road. I'm walking around. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, we have this view of God like he's just waiting to rain down discipline. I love my girls, my three girls, but I wasn't walking around the house. Now, they might say that that's not how it happened when they're growing up, but I wasn't walking around the house looking for them to mess up so I could bring out black velvet. You know what I'm saying? The black belt. Like, they did not, when that thing left my belt, my pants, they knew something was coming. And it was, it was something serious. I mean, there was times Amy would be like, okay, that's enough. I was like, come here, baby. I'm just playing, okay. So, but where was I at? God's wrath. How in the world? But we have viewed God that way, that if we mess up, he's waiting. That's where I was at. I didn't walk around my house waiting for my kids to mess up so that I could discipline them. And I don't believe that God is that same way. Okay, but yet the church has painted this picture that we are to fear. There's a difference between a reverential fear and just a straight out, I'm scared of God. Okay, I don't know about y'all, but I don't think my dad growing up ever he wanted to be clear who was the boss and who was in charge, but it wasn't a thing where he lorded over me and he just had to just hone it down on me. And our Heavenly Father is not that way. He's not that way. So for some of us, that's the picture of God. And then the other end of the spectrum, and we touched a little bit on that last week, is he's this God that maybe evolved in the 60s. You know what I'm saying? You know, peace, love, and whatever else went on in the 60s. I don't know. I wasn't there yet. But that's what we have. It's like, God, I can just do whatever I want to. He's a loving God. He's a great. He'll let you do whatever you want to. But there's consequences. Okay, so we've got to make sure, and we talked about this last week, we got to make sure we understand the balance of who God is. He is a God of mercy, and he's a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. He's going to make sure. And one thing that I've learned is that God is consistent. I think I've got a slide for this, that God is consistent and God is balanced. If you're taking notes tonight, write that down. God is a God who is consistent, and he is a God that is balanced. I think about the story with the lady who was caught in adultery, who the religious people, the religious church people brought her to Jesus, and clothed. And I don't really know the condition. The Bible tells us that she was caught in the act, and because they knew what the law said, so they wanted to see how Jesus was going to handle this. Again, remember what I said. If you want to know how Jesus will handle life situations, things that we go through, if you want to know how God would handle it, just look at how Jesus would. And so in that situation, Jesus just simply, you know the story, how whatever he wrote in the dirt, whether it was the names of the women they had just been with 24 hours before that weren't their spouse, we don't know all the details, but all we know is whatever he wrote in the dirt, it was pretty serious because they all dropped their rocks and split. Ye without sin cast the first stone. I have a big problem with the church, that picture of the church that wants to stone people. And all he said was, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more. He is a God of justice, but he's also a God, he's a balanced God. And so anytime we as the church get this thing out of balance, we're going to mess up. What are we going to mess up? We're going to mess up the picture. Remember I said last week, you're the only Jesus that some of the people that we come in contact with in Chiefland, Cross City, wherever you live, wherever you walk the streets and work, we're the only message of the gospel these people are going to see. So if the picture that we show them is the Disney character, hello, the Disney character with the pitchfork waiting on you to mess up. If that's all they know, they're not coming. And that's not what you need to, that's not the Jesus that I serve. And I'm here tonight to tell you, that's not the Jesus that loves you, died for you, who is balanced, but he's very consistent. Okay? He's very consistent. The core truth is this: with every distortion that you have about God, there's always a corresponding consequence. Listen, you may want to write that down. I'll slow that back down because this is good. With every distorted view of God, there comes a corresponding consequence. For example, If you believe every time that something bad happens in this world, whether someone you know or yourself, someone you know, got cancer, whether it was your house burned down or maybe you lost your job, if you think that that's God's way of somehow getting back at people, the corresponding consequence is that you are never going to learn to trust your Heavenly Father. Okay? If you think that God is up there trying to be the dad that I described, that my kids sometimes think that I am, always looking for me mess up or them to mess up, if that's the God that we think, we will never learn to trust our Heavenly Father. And that's probably one of the biggest things that the enemy uses in his favor to get us off the straight and narrow path, is to get us to get to a place where we don't trust God. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever the craziness is, we have been a part of a church. I'm not saying this church. I'm just saying the church as a whole has communicated that's God's way of paying you back. Now there are consequences, and we are free moral agents. We can do what we want, but there's consequences for those. Not all of those are subject to God, and not all of those things happen because He put it into play. Okay. It's like gravity. What goes up is going to come down. Okay? It's the same thing with the way we view God. There is a corresponding consequence. If you believe, another one is, if you believe that you have that you need to have all of your questions answered about God. This is another one. We as leaders put this pressure on congregations that you've got to have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted, and if you don't, you're missing it. Let me tell you something. There is nothing about this world, this word right here, that should be condemning, that should make you feel like you're being condemned. Now you will get convicted if you're not living in it, but it should never be communicated in a way that is condemning. Again, if that's what the world hears, the world's not coming in. That's why, again, I'm putting a lot of emphasis on the empty seats beside you. That's why some people are no longer here, or some people won't come in here to fill it, because a church somewhere, it could have been ours, it could have been one down the street, or somewhere across the state. Somebody, somewhere, presented a gospel that if you don't have it all correct, and every T crossed and every I, you might as well just hang it up. That's not Jesus. It's a process. Everybody say process. It is a process. I'm not perfect, but He is. As a pastor, as a leader, as a husband, I'm not without sin, but God is. But He loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. So if that's what you believe, that you have to have all your questions answered, the corresponding consequence is that we're going to live our whole life never really having faith or peace. You're never gonna have a peace. You're always gonna be walking around like, I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. I'm disqualified. I can't do this. I might as well give up. And all the demons in hell were going, that a boy, you got it. Yeah, preach it. You want to know who's going to be on your side when you start saying and believing those lies? It's not going to be the angels in heaven or the saints that's gone on before. It's going to be the demons that are trying to get you to come down there because they're lonely, they're afraid. And somebody, well, what are the demons? It's 1/3 of the angels that fell with Lucifer. If I just want to break that back down. Lucifer, the devil, the enemy of your soul, wanted to exalt himself above God's. He got kicked out of heaven and deceived 1/3 of the angels. That's the demons. That's the demons. See, we're looking for a devil with a pitchfork and a tail and horn. No. The Bible said he was an angel of light. I don't know if he was ugly or pretty, but all I know is the angels that we have seen are glorious and they're beautiful. Okay, so if you're looking for the enemy to be, you know, to be like the cartoon character, that's not the one. That's not. Sometimes it comes as in-laws, outlaws. That's a joke. But the enemy will use the people that are closest to you to deceive you and get you to a place where you're not living at peace. You feel like one of the key roles of the enemy that he uses is to cause us to feel abandoned. It's what I call abandonment. He wants you to feel like you're all alone and nobody cares and nobody even knows what you're going through. I'm here tonight to tell you, God does know what you're going through. He does care what you're going through. And if you'll surrender to Him, He'll walk out your days with you. He will walk with you. You don't have to be alone. You can be alone if you choose to be alone. Where you are is your choice. Where you are in your life, where I am, is my choice. I can either choose. I could have chose not to move to Florida. We could have chose not to move and maybe had an okay life. But let me tell you something, an okay life and being in God's perfect will, I'd rather be in His will. Now, y'all may have to run that back for me because I don't always feel that way. Okay? Are you tracking me? I don't always feel that way. But I would rather be in his perfect will than just to be okay in life. And you can go through life and just be okay, but you'll be miserable. You got it. God, where do you want me to be? Plant my feet and wherever, plant me so I can grow. Wherever you want my family, wherever you want me working, whatever job you want me to be, wherever it is, may I be effective in being a witness and a light for you. Whatever it is, wherever you are. If you believe that every time you screw up, God's mad at you, the corresponding consequence is you're going to be overwhelmed with guilt that's going to make you run away from God, not to God. If you feel like God is mad at you every time you screw up, let's say it again. God is perfect. I am not. But he loves me anyway. And if you feel like every time you screw up, or you just jack that situation, just it's totally jacked up. And you feel like God's mad at you, that you're always gonna have this thing of guilt. The enemy knows how to tweak the word to make you. He knows how to make you feel guilty. If it's guilt and condemnation, that's not coming from God. There is a difference, and there's a close relationship to conviction. There's a close relationship to conviction, but if it's condemning, that's not of God. Okay? God doesn't operate that way. For every distortion that you have about God, there's a corresponding consequence. How we view God will determine how we communicate who God is. Remember what I said? How I view him is so important. Not just for my life, but because there are other people's lives who are counting on my life. And when people watch me going through a bad day, it don't matter. You can strip the title away, pastor, leader, whatever. I'm just a person who's married trying to do this thing just like you are. But it's important that I've got a clear direction and a clear perception of who God is, because if my vision's jacked up for God, then I'm gonna present that to you guys. And then you're gonna be like, well, that's how I'm supposed to act? Okay, well, if he did it, it must be okay. Same thing for you. You have to have a clear perception of who God is for your life, not just for you, but for those around you, because they are watching. And they may be the only Jesus they see. It's important that we get this thing right. It's important that we have a clear view of who God is, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of other people. Because let's face it, there are many, many people that are walking the streets of Chiefland. There are many, many people driving through the neighborhoods where you live who are lost, who don't know Jesus. And the only way they're even going to know who he is by how you live it out. They may never come to... I'm having a hard time. I don't know if the 24 hours we spent in Georgia near the Alabama line, but I feel like I got twang going on up here tonight. I'm sorry, y'all. It's like I went up there and I got this accent, and I'm like, I'm trying to. It's like, leave, devil. No, get out the way. Okay. If y'all could hear what I'm hearing this twang thing, and I'm like, all right. What was I saying? It's important because people are walking the streets of your city and your town who don't know Jesus, and it's up to us. They may never come to Forward Church. They may never come to any other church. And that's going to be based on how you are displaying who Christ is. Congratulations, I just put a lot on you. Remember what I told you a couple weeks ago? Who much is given, much is required. This gift of salvation and this gift of grace and mercy that you have, you're responsible to do something with it, not just for yourself. Don't be one of those Christians. I know I'm pushing a lot back on you, because why not? Why shouldn't we feel that? That's what the word says we're supposed to be doing. So it's important that we get this right. It's important. When we think about God's love, most of us can't even begin to wrap our minds around his love, because we put our idea of love through the filter and the lenses of our human understanding. We can't even wrap our mind around God's love It's unexplainable, yet undeniable. It's unimaginable, but yet it's very simple. But we can't wrap our pea brains around that concept, because all we do is we run it through the filter of what we think love is based on conditions. That's how we've done the I love you stage. Somebody say, what you talking about? In human relationships, our love is almost always characterized by ifs, maybes, and becauses. I love you if you do this. I love you if you scratch my back tonight before I can go to sleep. That's mine. I love you because you did that. How many have ever said that? Baby, I love you because you cleaned up that, or you did that. I love you because. Our view on the concept of love is very conditional. That's why we have a hard time wrapping our mind around God's love for us, because his is not based on condition, but yet that's how we do life. We do love with conditions. I'll love you if, I love you because. Or, do you love me? Yes, no, or maybe. Y'all remember back in grade school. Some of y'all broke that note out in high school. Y'all know. I won't. But yes, no, or maybe so. Y'all remember? It conditions. And why we dropped that maybe? Because we wanted just a little bit of hope, didn't we? If it was just yes or no, that just shut our odds off. But if we put that maybe in there, yes, no, maybe so. We're challenged by our human understanding of God's love. Let's go real quick to Romans chapter 5. Let's just clear this up tonight. I'm going to give you four implications to consider. Tonight we're only going to do two, okay? I'm going to give you two tonight and we're going to be done. But there'll be a total of four when we conclude next Wednesday night. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. This is going to be the Amplified version. Says, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, died for us. Now that's an unimaginable kind of love. Like we can't even understand that. While I was yet a sinner, and some of y'all are going, dude, I wasn't even here when he died. How crazy is that? You weren't even here. So what that says is God already knew you. He knew your beginning to the end. He's walked out all of your days. He knew all the times you were going to mess up. He knows all the times you're still going to mess up, because we're not perfect and we're not without sin, but yet he loves us anyway. And he knew all that. And the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So that just cleared that up. So for those of you that said, dummy, I get it that before I sinned, he died for me, but I wasn't even here. But before he formed you, well, I thought my mom and dad did that in the back of the Chevrolet. No. They had a participation in that, but before God formed you, he already knew you. That's the relationships that were based in the back seat of a 1977 Chevrolet instead of the front seat of a pew. Let me just be real straight with you, okay? If it was a 72 for you, I'm sorry, I don't know. Okay. But it's true. Before God formed you, he knew you. He knew you were going to mess up. He knew that you were going to be you were going to be full of sin, and he loved you anyway. I wrote this down. I said, before he said, before I formed you, I knew you. Then I wrote this down. Before the world knew me, he loved me and accepted me. Before my parents even knew me, I was loved and I was accepted. So see, let me just pull them away and make them feel alone. No. Before your parents knew you, before your buddies and your bae, before your friends and family, before any of them even knew what you were going to look like, God loved you and he accepted you. So next time the enemy tries to make you feel like you're washed up and you can't be used of God, that's not God. That's called condemnation. Remember, that's not of the Bible. That's not the Jesus that I know. If that was the Jesus, then I wouldn't be here. That's not the Jesus. That's not the Jesus that loves us so. So let's go over these. I'll give you two tonight and then we'll be done. So So the first one, and as we look at these, ask yourself this question, okay? Write these down. Please, please, please write these down, because this is the stuff that you're going to need when you wake up Thursday morning and feel like, man, even after he preached that, that song came on the radio and all those thoughts came back, and then that dude pulled out in front of me and I flipped him off, and then I went home and I cussed out the TV because I didn't really like all the stuff on the news and it just made me mad. When you feel like you're worthless, God's saying, no, 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 I love you, you're accepted. So the questions that I want you to ask yourself when I give you these implications and the description of God's love is, ask yourself, what would my life look like if I really believed that God thought this about me? What I'm getting ready to give you, ask yourself, how would my life change? Because I believe that it would change for you as I give these to you, because it's changing me. How would my life change if I really believe God? I'm not talking about he's looking at Billy Graham or he's looking at Mother Teresa. No, no, no. I'm saying, how's he looking at Paul? How's he looking at Jamie? How's he looking at Bobby? How's he looking at me? How's he looking at you? So the first one is this. God wants to be with me. I originally wrote it down, God wants to be with you, but that's not how I want you to write it down. I want you to write it down, God wants to be with me. Make that personal. So that when you feel alienated and you feel all alone, you need to know. If you didn't come prepared to write it down on notes, bless God, put it in the tablet in your phone. Because you need to see that. Put it as your screensaver. God wants to be with me. God wants to be with me. We know this in the beginning. God creates the world and he creates man and woman. Whoa, man. That's what Adam said. Whoa, man. I mean, okay, I won't go into the description because I would never be able to get it back. But I'm just saying, he created man and woman. And then he created a place on earth in the garden so that he could just hang out with them. We know the word says in Genesis that God walked with him. Let's just go there. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 8, and it says, and they heard the sound. Everybody say sound. They heard the sound of the Lord. Many of us can't hear the sound of the Lord because we got the sound of everybody else's gossip going on. Hello, church. Some of us can't hear the sound of what God's trying to say because we're too busy trying to produce a sound that tells everybody else what we know about somebody else so that the spotlight don't get put on us. It says they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God wants to be with you. God wants to be with you. Now, if he wanted to walk with me, because we live in Florida, he's going to have to do it. There's only a couple weeks out of the year that he's going to be able to hang out with me because I ain't walking outside. We do. We try to make an intentional effort to walk our neighborhood. But through the summer months, that ain't happening. We just sit in the air conditioner and goo goo gaga. Would you like to ride with me to Krispy Kreme? Yes, no, maybe so. And then we'll stop by Starbucks and get what you like. Okay. God wants to be with me. God wants to be with me. You can go on a walk with somebody. Listen, God intentionally created... It wasn't because he was lonely. He just wanted to hang out. He created man and woman. He created a place. How many of you are creating a place just to be with God? Well, I can't be like Pastor Dennis and get up at 4:30 in the morning. And nobody's asking you to be like Pastor Dennis. Nobody's asking you to track it out like I do. But are you setting aside 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30? Are you setting aside 2 minutes just to spend time with God? There's all kinds of resources. We have resources on our website, devotionals. We have all kinds. Are you spending time? Are you being intentional about spending time with God? He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. And if you really believe that, it would change your life and the way you do life. If we really believe that. But we don't. We believe that God's some cosmic being and he doesn't care what I'm going through. He doesn't know how hard my day is going to be and all the things that I got to do. And I got to find a secretary and I got to do this. And then he just doesn't know. And then he blessed me with this spouse and they're just driving me crazy. God, what are you doing? God cares. He wants to be with you, but we're too busy running around doing our own thing. He's just like, sit down. Sit down. God wants to be with you. If we really believe that, it would change how we do life. Spending time with someone is an intentional choice. I have to be intentional. I got to be intentional to spend time with her. Life is going way too fast. Church, washing cars, family, crazy stuff. Life has a unique way of just throwing all kinds of stuff at you all at one time. But I got to be intentional about going, I know I need to handle all these things, but first I got to spend time with God. Because if you do that, he'll help you. He wants to help you work all this stuff out. But if you're not making a time, if you're not making a space for him, he can't come in and assist you. God wants to be with me. Say that. God wants to be with me. He wants to be with me. I'm a firm believer of this. I'll always make time for what profits me. I'll always make time for what I want. I say this all the time. You'll always do what you really want to do, and you'll always be where you really, oh man, I wanted to be at church. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It's okay to go on vacation. We're going to do vacation. It's cool. You ain't going to see me. We're going to be gone. It's cool. But the people, man, I didn't mean to look at her. I didn't mean to look at him. Yeah, you did. Somebody say, is it bad to look? I didn't say it was bad to look, but just don't go crazy with that, okay? I'm not saying that wasn't sketchy. She knows what I'm saying. You always do what you really want to do. Just break that down. You always will. And you'll always be where you really want to be. Every time. Every time. So I got to get to a place where that doesn't mean that because God cares about the things that you care about. He put the desire in you, but he wants to know, will you seek me first? Don't make me go there. Seek first the kingdom. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. Just put him first. Just put him first. Number two, in closing, as the music softly plays. Number two, God identifies with my pain. He identifies with my joy, my hopes, and my dreams. You can write down that way's better. God identifies with my pain, my joy, my hopes, and my dreams. Again, when I think that God is this cosmic being who could care less, doesn't even have a clue with what I'm going through, I can't relate to that. But God identifies with your pain, your joy, your hopes, and your dreams. How would our lives look if we believe that? How lonely would we really be when all hell's coming against us and my heart's breaking because of what I'm going through? How would life really be when stuff starts going crazy if I really believe that he identifies with my pain? How much more would I enjoy God's goodness and his favor if I believed that God took pleasure in my joys and my happiness? How much more could I enjoy that, knowing that even in that moment, you're not alone in that? The angels are going, yeah, you deserve that. You've sacrificed things. You've done stuff. That's yours. How would our lives change? At the end of the day, if you really want to see what God is like, this cosmic being, look at Jesus. God broke off a piece of himself and sent him to earth, Jesus. All the pain, all the stuff we're going through, he knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows the heartache. And he's saying, you don't have to go through it by yourself. And maybe you need to X off some of the few people that you're trying to pull along with you because they're only making it worse. Hello, church. Maybe you need to start Xing out of some of the relationships that you're with because they're only going to make the journey worse for you. And if they're not going in the same direction, you're not going to get to your destination with someone else fighting you. You got to make sure that you're lined up with the right person. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about just in relationships. Non-dating, just relationships. Hang out with people that have the same mind that you do, that understand the responsibility that you do, who understand that God identifies with your pain, who will walk up beside you and go, Jeremy, I know you're going through hell, but God identifies. Sometimes I need Jeremy to call me and go, hey, Bradley, I noticed at church you weren't really the same as you normally are. Everything okay? I don't even need to know, but whatever it is, God's got your back. Preachers need them phone calls too. We need them phone calls too to help hold us accountable, to go, something up? I got a few people who call me. And it's good. It's good because it lets me know that there's somebody who's interested in me, not just what I can do for them. They're interested, and they go, you know what? God's got something better. Whatever you're going through, you're not walking it by yourself. We're here, but God's got your back. He understands your pain. That's who we need to be linked up with. In closing, John chapter 11, and I'm done. Verse 33, we know this story. This is what I just told you. Jesus, he had 12 disciples, but he also had, those were the people he was developing, but he also had friends that he hung out with. And there was three. It was Mary, Martha, and a dude named Lazarus. Y'all all know the story about how Jesus loved Lazarus, but Lazarus was sick and he died. And word came to Jesus, the one whom you love, he's sick and he's going to die if you don't show up. And Jesus, there were some other things that were going on. It was pressing, and he didn't make it in time. But how many know God ain't tripping? God ain't worried about it. Man, all this stuff on Facebook I'm seeing about stuff in the news and Christians just freaking stressing out. Dude, God ain't tripping. Why are you tripping? I got that today because my anxiety level was going up and Amy is like, I want to fire something back off and I want to share that and post that. And dude, he ain't tripping. I'm not stressing. Again, it's my view of who God is. If I think he's up there stressing, then maybe I need to be down here helping him out. Jesus said, y'all all going to hell. Like, if I really feel like he needs my... God don't need my help. He's got this thing. If the FBI can't figure it out, if so-and-so can't figure it out, and all this stuff on the news, and God has not fell off the throne. And that's my view of who he is. And what do I have to back that up? It's the word. That's all I need. I'm not tripping. I'm not stressing. God's got this thing, and he's in control. What's my responsibility? To pray. If my people who are called by my name, maybe some of you don't understand that part, because the prayer part, because you're not called. I'm not talking about going to the mission field of Africa. Can you go next door? God ain't worried about it. It said, when Jesus saw her weeping, this is when he shows up to the gravesite. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And said, where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. They replied, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Go back to point number two. For the my pain. He identifies my pain. That's where this comes from. For the longest time, I've always read that he cried because his friend was dead. He wasn't worried about it. He knew what was fixing to happen. He was God. He knew he was fixing to say, Lazarus, come forth. I sang a song for many, 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 many years. Lazarus, Jesus, Lazarus, Jesus. On the story of Lazarus, I always thought he was crying because of his love lost for his friend. That's not true. He was moved with compassion for the family members. That's why when I see hurt and I see people, man, my heart breaks for people. That's how Jesus was. He identifies with your pain. Jesus identifies with your pain. When we go through tragedy, when tragedy in life happens, God knows. He cares. I can't explain it. I mean, because you're going, he's the God of the universe. He created all this. I mean, he's undescribable. Yet it's so simple to understand. I can't explain why, but the God who is God over everything, when you hurt, he hurts. I can't explain that. Like, why would something that that supernatural be so concerned with something so small as a hangnail? He cares. However small your issue is or however big your problem, God cares. We've got to stop thinking about God as some cosmic being who doesn't identify with the different things that we're going through. Listen, at the end of the day, life gets messy. It's just the truth. And when we think just because I smell a little bit, the fragrance of sin will cause you to stink. You may want to write that down. You wonder why people don't want to be around you? Because the fragrance of sin stinketh. That's the King James Version. It does. The people that used to come around ain't coming around no more. Or not. But how many knows that two people who stink don't really care? Because there's fragrance in the air. It's true. Sin stinks. And if the friends that didn't come don't come around anymore, maybe you should check yourself. Or if you're hanging out with other people and you identify with how bad they stink, that's because they've been dabbling it a little longer. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not trying to be condemned. I'm just saying. Life is messy. And people think, well, listen, there's no neat church. There's no neat church. There's no neat church. Neat churches aren't necessary. I saw that picture. I posted it the other day. Neat churches aren't necessary. When we got it all together and everything's right and you can't find nothing wrong, that's when you get nervous. I don't care when people lose their head and going crazy and they talking and doing and that's where Jesus was at. If everything was put into place, there wasn't no need for him. My life's a wreck without him. Some of y'all think, well, man, y'all got that Pinterest look. You know, y'all just got it all together, perfect little marriage. No, we don't. You let Christ come out of our family. You let Christ come out of our marriage. You'll see just how jacked up Bradley Weber is. I know y'all think she's perfect and it's all me. But you let Jesus come out of our home and out of our relationship. You'll see. She's a bad mamma jamma. Ain't it so? I'm not. It's the truth. Take God out of some of y'all's homes. Take God out of your relationships. We'll see. Listen, God loves you, and he wants to spend time with you. We're done. God loves you. It's unimaginable, his love for you. But it's important that we talked about that tonight. It's important that we're gonna finish it up next week. It's important that you understand this great love. Because he wants to spend time with you. And he is very concerned with your pain. He's very concerned with life where you are. He is concerned. And where life has gotten crazy, he just wants to know, can I come in and help? Can I walk with you? He just wants to be with you in the garden. He's perfect. I'm not. He's sinless. No chance. But he loves me anyway. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue his purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.